Welcome to RevCast, a Civilization podcast focused on its console platforms.
I'm Toby Reeves.
Grayson.
El Thrasher.
Who wants to do the intro anyway? I think I did it last time.
Go for it. You're the French guy.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Why don't you do it in bilingual?
You want me to do it in French?
Yeah!
Bienvenue on RevCast.
I'm regular co-host Grayson, and I'm joined by Joe B. Reeves.
Hi.
And El Thrasher.
Hey, what's up?
Oh boy. So what we got going on this week? We got
fan mail.
Fan mail. We have a fan mail.
You can only pick one.
We had piles of them, and we had to filter down to one because we only have so much time. But keep sending that fan mail. We love getting that one. A question about luck. It's from Jesus Gonzalez, sent via email. I was wondering if you guys could talk about the luck in this game. I know the game takes skill and experience to win, but luck also comes into play when going for a victory. I'm talking about finding the right artifacts, getting the right people at the right time, having good map locations, getting enough barbs to reach your 100G settler, walking into the right tiles, giving you exploration, cash, those types of things. Thank you. And he underlined in flashing text on this part, he said, I really enjoy listening to the RevCast. So, I mean, we have our fan.
Yeah, this is for you, Jesus.
Luck absolutely has a part to play in the game, in my opinion, but for the more experienced players, especially online players, I think could be a better perspective.
I would agree that luck is important in the game. You can start on a five-tile island, or you can start right next to the stupid AI English who will let you walk a warrior right into London and get a nice city and get monarchy. I mean, you can also start right next to a barb that gives you a galley and shows you the way to the Seven Cities of Gold. You can be playing the Germans and start basically in the middle of a desert with no trees anywhere, except for the two that you're guaranteed. So yeah, luck is a huge aspect in the game, but part of becoming a better or more experienced player is finding ways to leverage that luck into the win, because you can kind of make your own luck.
I think a lot of people focus on luck and just the randomness of the game. Some people get very disgusted by it. Lots of people chime in on forums and say, oh, well, they don't usually want to admit a strategic defeat. They'll say, oh, well, you know, I lost that battle with favorable odds, or you found all the artifacts. Yes, there's sometimes in the game where you can't do anything about it, and then other games you just roll in the cash, roll in everything, and you feel like, well, I must be doing something right. That must be because of me, but I like the luck aspect of the game. I think it keeps it fresh. I think it keeps it exciting. If it was all strictly numbers, if the higher number won every time, or if it was everybody got an equal start, yeah, that might be cool to play once or twice, but just never knowing what's around the corner is really great. I like the big swings in the game, down and out, but all of a sudden you get a great artist and you flip one of their best cities, and then all of a sudden the tides have turned and you got them on the ropes. That keeps the game fresh for me, and I really like it. I think El Thrasher is right that luck does play a role, but as he said, you have to learn how to leverage that luck. If a newer player finds the Seven Cities of Gold against me, I'm not usually sweating too much until I see what they can do with it. If it's 10 turns later and I haven't even seen them do anything with it, I'm not going to be too worried. But if El Thrasher gets the Seven Cities of Gold against me in the first 10 turns, I can go ahead and say my prayers because I have little chance of winning that game.
Oh, shucks.
We've had that happen several times in games between us or games between our friends who play on a similar level.
Yeah.
And that can be a big deciding factor. And it kind of sucks sometimes, but it's also fun try to learn how to play from behind.
Yeah.
Play enough games, luck's going to pay you back too, so.
Oh, yeah. It's always a hot button issue. Some people really think that the game is totally about luck to the point where it really takes a strategy out of it, but I think it fits in well with what Civ wanted to do with this game, which is have just tons of bonuses. Try to make every Civ overpowered. Try to just have a bunch of big swings in the game. Now, I don't think this game was built on balance. I think it was built on imbalance. So he had to add a lot of lucky stuff in the game.
that makes sense. I mean, one of the common threads that you hear from, at least on the PC side, you hear the Pikeman versus Tank argument where...
Oh yeah, we got the same thing.
One out of a million times, and it does happen that you get a tank taken down by Pikeman or a Pikeman army. I've had it happen to me quite a few times also, especially in the Civ Rev game. You got the attack and the defense, and sometimes the numbers are really against you. You do make your own luck to a point, but if you can really barrage with spies and just really get lucky and pull that great person out of there, out of the other lands, out of the other cities, that completely swings the game.
Yes, true.
That's the only time I really hold my breath, when I'm going to dump a bunch of spies.
The odds in battle, touching on pikemen, your tanks versus pikemen battle might be something on the order of 45 to 18. I think some people feel like 45 to 18 means 45 should always win because it's, whatever, it's 27 better. That's not what the game's designed to do. The game is designed for tanks to usually win and the pikemen to sometimes win. And that's just the way the game is designed. So if you're putting everything on one tank army and that one tank army is going to make or break your game, you might lose.
That would be making your own luck then. I mean, absolutely making your own luck at that point.
Well, what you do to make your own luck is you bring 10 tank armies.
Yeah.
Right.
So what if I lost the first one?
Yeah, then you don't have to be lucky at all.
I think that one of the biggest lucky factors in the game, one of the biggest random factors in the game is great people. They pop up in the game after you reach your cultural milestones, and you don't know which one you're going to get. There are ways to influence it, and we'll probably talk about it in just a minute when we talk about France.
Shh, we're not talking about France yet. We got to introduce them, Steve. It's going to be a surprise.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Somebody's going to speak French.
I like the lucky aspect. You know, sometimes if I'm just down in a game and I'm about to quit on an online game and I see that, oh, well, I'm 5 more turns away from getting a great person, well, I'll wait that out and see what I can do with that. Kind of gives you something to hope for.
I can recall a game I was hopelessly behind as Germany, and I had a great person coming up, so I hung out for it, and it was a great leader.
Oh, gosh.
As Germany basically means that I can make a bunch of cheap units, then research and advanced technology, and they all upgrade. It can be worth it.
So luck does play a part. Huzzah.
Yep. I hope that answers your question, Jesus. If not, write us back, because we'd love to hear from you again.
Let's talk about our Better Know a Civ. We talk about general information about the civilization, the strengths and weaknesses, some of the bonuses that it gets based on eras, just based on starting out. We talk about how to win with the Civ, the initial game, mid-game, and the end-game, and how to beat the same Civ if you're trying to go up against the French in the initial game, the mid-game, and the end-game.
What Civ do we have this time?
Anybody want to speak up as to say what Civ it is?
La France.
La France!
The first bonus is that you are represented by Napoleon, who climbs up on a stepladder to threaten the other civilizations.
Yeah.
Probably the best thing about the French. They also get to start with an impressive cathedral, which takes your population of your capital, Paris, multiplies it by 2, and you get that much culture every turn.
Now, for an offline player like myself, an isolationist player like myself, that is beautiful, because I do culture bombs.
That was pretty good. There's nothing not to like about it. Starting off with 4,000 BC, you're getting 6 culture per turn because your population doubled, so that's 4, and then you get 2 more population from your palace.
Yep.
You get your first great person somewhere between 2,500 BC to 2,000 BC. That's a solid 20 turns before most people.
It's an easy way to flip a city as opposed to go to war, and I've done that before. I've flipped 2 cities in very short order, one based on culture and one based on a great person. Talk about luck.
Yeah. The cathedral's a good bonus. You do have to be careful that nobody comes along with a spy and destroys it. The AI will never do that because it doesn't know how, but other players will eagerly do that to you because it takes away your best bonus.
Yep.
The other starting bonus is knowledge of pottery, which is really not in the league of the Arabs start with religion, the English start with monarchy, Spanish start with navigation, etc., etc. But it's not bad. It means that you get to medieval faster. You only have to research 4 more technologies. Many players believe and have demonstrated evidence that you can use your knowledge of pottery to try to influence your first great person to be a great builder.
You start with pottery, and pottery is a prerequisite for masonry. Masonry, if you're first to research it, it gives you a free wall. That's great. It's good for early defense. But I guess what some people don't know is that your great people are partly influenced by what tech you have last researched whenever you reach your cultural milestone. It's not 100%, it's just influenced, it just makes it more likely you'll get it. But with your first great person, it seems like it's pretty much 100%. If you research pottery and then masonry with the French and have no other texts at around 2500 BC to 2000 BC, you will get a great builder, which is what you want. Pretty much the best great person you can have. I've tested this over and over again. I didn't believe it at first, but I mean, it's 100% of the time. So that's the route I usually go. I find this the most powerful route to do. I tend to build either the Great Wall, which will basically have everybody be at peace with you until it obsoletes with engineering, which is pretty far into the game. So you can basically just expand out with a bunch of empty cities or do whatever you want and not worry about being at war with anybody. So that keeps you safe for quite a while.
If you're playing either single player or you're playing online and there's an AI, a really great thing to do when you have the Great Wall is wait for it to send out settlers, and then you steal the settler and then immediately ask for peace. And the AI will always just give you peace right away. So you can just take whatever the heck you want and then have peace immediately. I've done that with the French a few times and gotten like 3 settlers off the AI. It's great.
Or you can build Colossus, which doubles the trade output in a city, which can be very powerful.
I don't tend to be really big on getting the Colossus right away unless there's a city that will have good growth, because really at that point you're putting double trade in a city that maybe has 2 population, and you might get then irrigation first, which would put it up to 3, but I don't know, it just doesn't seem like a huge boost at that stage in the game to me.
Sometimes I hold on to them and wait for East India Company for navigation, but I would say that I would rather do without pottery, even if it meant, you know, I might not have a path to a great builder so consistently. Pottery is a 20 bigger tech. It's very...
Yeah, it's not really that great, but...
It saves you 2 or 3 turns, and I've tried to figure out why is pottery... French known much for pottery.
Doesn't it unlock wine or something?
Yeah, it unlocks wine.
Oh. Right, so French like wine. They have good wine. I understand.
The one other one, Shakespeare's Theater.
Oh, yes.
Doubles the culture in a city.
Yeah.
And I believe you unlock Shakespeare's Theater with literacy.
It stays for quite a while, too, mass media.
You're doubling down on your culture. You've got this cathedral, which by 20 or 30 turns into the game, you're making 15 to 20 culture a turn.
It also doubles your palace culture, Shakespeare's Theater. So if you have Paris at like 6 population, you get 12 off the cathedral, and then you get 5 more for your palace culture, so that's 17, and then it's doubled, so you have 34.
Yep.
Right.
If you have a well-placed capital city, then the radius will just basically reach out and touch any city that's near it.
Right. Yeah.
Unless you go and settle 20 cities, in which case your culture will tank, but...
Yeah.
If you want to go for a cultural win, that's a pretty easy way to do it. My problem with doing that for the French, and really my philosophy with a lot of civs, is if they already start out with a really good strength, do you want to diversify and be more well-rounded, or... Do you want to just double down on what you're good at, whether it be tech, economy, or culture? Just building up more culture for already the best culture civ early on in the game might not always pan out. The French aren't the best techers. They don't make the most gold. They're not that great at expansion or domination until later on in the game, maybe. It's a pretty big risk if you're in a close game.
You talk about the financial aspect of the French, and the medieval bonus is actually something that costs you money. It's something that nobody really takes advantage of. I know they don't online. It's just the ability to construct roads at half price. So any financial benefit that you might get from that bonus is actually going to end up costing you cash from every angle.
Right. Mm-hmm. We kind of discussed this last week with the Aztecs as well. The half-cost roads bonus that you get in the medieval, it'd be great if it was in the ancient era, where movement really is key to get places, to either defend yourself or to attack, or to get across the map, to expand better. But in the medieval era, roads are probably pretty low on your priority list.
And they're still expensive, half price or not, especially medieval.
And the cost inflates every era as well. And so I don't know what the road pricing system is, but I mean, it's probably pretty similar to what you would pay in the ancient era with the French anyway.
Yeah, it's probably something like that.
Information about RevCast, Sibling Shows Polycast, and Modcast, or about Polycast in general, log onto the series' official website at thepolycast.net. Record date November 22nd, 2009.
Civilization Revolution Sounds Clips, copyright Take 2 Interactive.
Copyright 2009, Civilized Communication at civcom.net.